Our gospel reading, in which the sermon is based on, is Luke 21, verses 5 through 19. It's on page 85 in the New Testament or on the screen. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And Jesus said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." And then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes in various places, famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance. For I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The word of the Lord. First thing I want to say before we start in this is this passage is all about hope. Sometimes when we read it, it looks like it's all about bad things. But this is about hope. So don't get lost in the wars and the plagues. Because Jesus in this passage is talking about eternal life. Jesus has, since chapter 9 in Luke, and we're on chapter 21 now, but since about August of this year, Luke has been going through Samaria and Galilee on his way to Jerusalem. And now he's in Jerusalem right before Holy Week. And he's teaching at the temple. And his disciples are there and the crowds are there. Because earlier Luke had written, "In the hearing of all the people, Jesus said to his disciples." So these are words not only for his disciples, but for all believers and for those who do not believe. But again, I stress this is a message of hope. The first verses are about the temple in Jerusalem. And Jesus says they will all be thrown down, all the stones. And that came to pass 37 years after his death, when the Romans completely leveled the temple. They left most of Jerusalem, and then about 60 years later, they leveled the rest of Jerusalem. But the temple was totally destroyed, and it was an earth-shattering experience for both Judaism and Christianity. Judaism lost its focal point. It was the temple since the time of Solomon that had given Jerusalem its prestige and its power. Jewish society scattered People left and started to go around in Asia Minor, Turkey and Syria, because they were scared. When the Romans destroy your temple, they don't leave much left to the imagination of what they can do to you. And it also validated Jesus' messiahship, because he made a prophecy. We don't, in this congregation, this denomination, talk much about prophecy, because usually they are so wide, they are so all-encompassing that, yeah, that could have happened. I could have said that it was going to happen, and because it was such a, you know, the sun's going to come up tomorrow. Yeah, I predicted that. That doesn't really hold a lot of water. But when somebody predicts, especially a man that calls himself a prophet, that was thought of as a prophet, was worshipped as a prophet, predicts something that people do not expect ever to happen, and it happens in their lifetime, that gives that man, that creature, that person, an awful lot of authority and status. And people believe in what he said. There's lots of reasons that Christianity grew so fast in the first and second century. One of them is we believe that Jesus rose from the dead. That's a pretty good sign. But even if they didn't believe that, and a lot of Jewish people didn't believe that, they began to believe when they read that or heard that Jesus had predicted that the temple would be destroyed. It was a strong sign that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. And then the next section is interested in what we call the end times. When we worry about the end of the world. Beware, Jesus said, that you are not led astray. When somebody says, I am he, that's not something that we have happen a lot anymore. If somebody was to stand up and say, I am Jesus in the flesh, I am the Messiah in the flesh, they don't usually get very many followers. But where they do get a lot of followers is when they stand up and they say, the end is coming. It is imminent. The time is near, is how Jesus put it. And there are books and books and movements and denominations that believe that that's the most important thing in the Bible, that the end is imminent and is coming near. And if you want some proof of that, think of Waco, Texas, and think of Jonestown down in Honduras, and think of all the times that you've heard somebody on TV say, you better be saved today because the world is coming to an end. Now, you better be saved today, because it might come to an end tomorrow. But if you say that enough, guess what people do? They tune you out. And it's not always true. I'm always interested in denominations. There's one called the Seventh-day Adventist. Have you ever heard of it? Seventh Day, okay? In the 1840s, now that was a little while before last week, but in the 1840s, the man that started the Seventh-day Adventist was named somebody, and his last name was Miller. The Millerites, the 100,000 of them in the United States, that's a lot of people in the United States in 1840, believed that the world would end in 1844. And it didn't. So he said, okay, it's going to end in 1845. And it didn't. But the people were so enamored with that that they just, instead of throwing him to the wolves or whatever you do with people that make predictions all the time that never come true, they started a whole denomination that's still with us, the Seventh-day Adventists. It's Adventists. It's directly tied into that group. And that just totally amazes me. You can be wrong and wrong and wrong, and people still believe you. That's why I like Jesus. He's always right, and I can believe him because he's always right. And Jesus was emphatic about it. Do not go after them. We still do. Anybody that wants to make a lot of money in religion, just get up, own a jet, and say the world's going to end. And people believe you. Jesus doesn't. Like all good teachers, and Jesus, at the very least, was a teacher. He tells them what to do and why. And he uses a word that I find interesting. He says, do not be terrified. He doesn't say, do not be afraid, which is something that we hear a lot in the Bible. Do not be afraid. The angel said it to Zechariah. The angel said it to Mary and to the shepherds on Christmas Eve. And Jesus says it to his disciples as he preaches to them over and over. Do not be afraid. Here he says, do not be terrified. It's a different word. It means you forget who you are and you run away in terror. So don't forget who we are when people say the world is coming to an end. Do not live in fear. One thing Christ does not want is people living in fear. And as always, then Jesus goes and he alludes, because he's a prophet, he's a rabbi, he knows his Jewish Bible. He goes right back to Isaiah when he says that about the nations will fight the nations and the kingdom against kingdom. That comes right out of Isaiah. It wasn't one we read today, but it's in there. Because he knows the people he's talking to know their Old Testament. And so he backs up what he says, and they hear parts of, he's talking about something new, but they hear it from Isaiah also. And then he begins the last section that says, they will arrest you and persecute you, and they will hand you over. Now, if we had been following Luke and we were reading everything and not skipping over things, we would have learned that he said that earlier in chapter 12. This is not new for him. He had told his disciples the same thing seven chapters earlier. And he was talking about how he would disrupt families and communities. And he would, and he does, because he's countercultural. But it's the same exact idea. You'll be handed over. And you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. And that's exactly what happened to Jesus and Paul and one, what we call saint after another. They were brought before those in power and persecuted. And then he says, this will give you an opportunity to testify, for I will give you words and wisdom. I find that interesting because in that same chapter 12 that I was just talking about, Jesus says it'll be the Holy Spirit. But here he says it will be myself. Actually, he says in the Greek, me, myself, which is, I don't know how good of English that is, but it means that he was stressing the fact that through Jesus, the Holy Spirit works. If you don't believe in Jesus as Savior, then the Holy Spirit does not do for you what it should do and what it has done for people for millennia. You will be hated by all because of my name. And Luke isn't the only person that writes that Jesus said something like that. In John, we read this, which is just a little different, but I think it gives more flavor. If the world hates you, be aware that it hated me before it hated you. If you belong to the world would love you as its own. Because you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And he ends with, whoever hates me hates my Father also. So he knows that being a Christian, following Jesus, following him, is not easy. Because it is not the way the world works. How many times in your life have you ever heard somebody other than Jesus say, love your enemies? I can't think of once. Now, sometimes other people will say, love your neighbor, because that's a little easier. It depends on how you define neighbor. Some people's neighbor looks just like them. Other people's neighbors don't look like them. And so it's harder. But hate your enemy, that's something that's said by Jesus. And that's not what the world teaches us. And then Jesus concludes, what I think is one of the most powerful statements in the Bible that we don't read enough. It's full of hope, it's full of promise, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. Eternal life. You're not talking physically that your head may not be perished. He's talking about eternally. Not a hair on your head will perish. Which actually is said in the Old Testament a bunch of times. He didn't make that up. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. So the hope here, the gospel here, is that eternal life is ours if we believe. So what does this mean for us? What does this that Ray keeps talking about, what does it mean to us as Christians today? Simply means stay the course, keep awake, stand before God, live the will of God. When that is called into witness or questioned, bear witness to God. And then do the same thing tomorrow. And then do it the next day and the next day. And the next day. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, we're going to have an experiment here. See if I put are the words with it? All right, you need to get your pew hymnal out. You know, it's a kind of a blue book. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2 of number 339.